Windows 95 is one of the best operating systems ever created. Don't believe me? We're going to talk about an article today that makes the case. Plus, why it pays to make your customer's life easy. All this and more on The Rightly Show.
It's the program that helps you start and grow a brand-centric online business through the fusion of form and function.
This is The Rightly Show.
Hello and welcome to the program. My name is Thomas McGee and this is The Rightly Show. So there's a pretty good chance at one point in time you've probably used Windows 95. Windows 95, when it first came out, was quite the operating system. It really did revolutionize the way that we used our computers, and for good reason. It was just really well designed, and there was an interesting article that came out recently on Medium, and I wanted to just highlight a piece of it just because it gives some good takeaways for when it comes to launching our own products or when it comes to just building a product that changes or revolutionizes the industry that we're in. And I know this seems a little bit strange coming from me since I am a Mac guy, but Windows 95 at the time, though we look back at it now and think, okay, that's kind of old and ugly and all that, you know, all that stuff. But it really did make a big splash in the industry when it first came out. So the article says, "Oh, what a wonder the launching of Microsoft Windows 95 was. Jay Leno joking around on stage, an overjoyed Bill Gates dancing with his team around the sound of the Rolling Stones, a huge banner promoting the innovative start menu, and everyone just having a blast like it was the last day on Earth. It was the best party you've ever missed." And side note, they've got a really funny video in this article. And again, I'm going to link just a side note. I'm going to link to this article, so make sure you check it out just because it's well written and it's well done and it's an interesting read. You can find that today at rightly.show/55. But they got a little video in there with all these people, all these Microsoft people, Bill Gates and all these people dancing on stage for the launch of this product. It says, "But what is Windows 95? It says, Windows 95 makes it easier to deal with information, and it includes a lot of features to reach out from a single PC and communicate with other people." And that was Bill Gates. It goes on to say, "It was so simply put that one could not help but love it. No beating around a bush. The goal of Windows 95 was clear. You would be able to have more fun, be more efficient at work, and have an easier life dealing with your personal computer. This kind of honesty is now extinct. And even if products are advertised as the best thing you've ever seen, you'll never know what you're really going to get in the end. Take the launch of Microsoft's latest version of their operating system, Windows 10, for instance. No music, no comedians, no party, no fun, and a lot of dubious statements." It goes on to say, "Windows 10 will be our best enterprise platform ever and will enable our enterprise customers to be more productive than ever before, simplifying management and deployment for IT and working seamlessly with existing enterprise apps." So obviously there's not really, not much fanfare going in, and then they use the word enterprise two or three times. But it goes on to talk about the start button, and this really is kind of the hallmark of Windows 95. It says, "Can you imagine clicking on a single button and having all the available options displayed? This was the real game changer, and the reason why the Microsoft team thought it was cool to hang a start button banner at the top of their presentation. This really was a huge improvement concerning user experience before anyone thought it was something worth the investment. It picked something as complex and hard to understand as MS-DOS and turned it into a simple interface. There was an enormous effort to make sure that everyone would be able to use a computer with Windows 95, and it did not disappoint. How great would it be if someone could take your washing machine and turn all the available options into something you could actually understand? Making MS-DOS, or Windows 3.0, understandable was almost as hard as that. I'm not saying we should solve every UI and UX issue with the start menu, but most web designs out there could surely learn a lot from how Windows 95 solved so many problems by thinking about how target users would deal with their product." So again, great article. Highly recommend you check it out. That was just a piece of it. Again, just go to rightly.show/55 where I'll leave a link to it in the show notes. But what I wanted to highlight here, what I found was so interesting, it was the stark contrast between how they launched Windows 95 and how they launched their new products now. What you could argue is that Apple now does pretty, a pretty similar job to what they do what they did with Windows 95, in the sense that they turn every new product release into an event. So that's kind of the first piece to the puzzle, is every single time that they come out with a new product, it is an event. There's something that they do around that. But I would still argue that it still pales in comparison to the Windows 95 launch and the fact that they had people dancing on stage. Yeah, it was a little bit goofy, and especially looking back on it, it was very 90s. But the point was that not only did they make the whole launch an event, not only did they make it something interesting to watch, or kind of get people engaged in the process of releasing their new product, the whole act of creating the start menu, making that pivotal, showed at the time a very good understanding of what their customers wanted and needed, and it was an actual innovation. And not only did they make the innovation, but they highlighted it. They actually put the start button like on banners so that, you know, it was in and of itself a branding element. I could even imagine now, I don't know if they exist, I'm sure they do. You could probably buy a t-shirt with the start button on the t-shirt. So those types of things can draw a huge contrast, a huge difference between other people in your industry. There may be other competitors coming out there and creating new operating systems, but to have something like the start button that you can actually use as a branding element makes a huge difference. And a third piece I wanted to highlight here, which is worthy of taking into account for anybody who runs a website. So if you have a website at all, this is important to keep in mind, is that Windows 95 was very much created in such a way as to solve user needs. And sometimes the most innovative products are solving the user needs that they can't even articulate. Like, how would you even know how to articulate that I need a way to be able to access all these things without, you know, typing something in command line or using DOS or whatever it is? Like, how would you even be able to articulate what it is that you need? But being able to go through the process of thinking, hey, what if I consolidate everything into a button at the bottom left-hand corner of the screen that all you have to do, click that button and everything just, you know, pops up from there and guides you through the process of finding whatever applications you want or everything else. So how, you know, it's having the foresight of understanding what it is like as a consumer to use your product. That applies to your website through things as simple as whether or not you have a sidebar, how the navigation is situated and is organized at the top of the screen. I know a lot of websites, in fact, one of the requests I see pretty frequently is, can you add or give me the ability to add submenus to my website? And 9 times out of 10, what I tell people is that if you need a submenu, you are adding too many menu items. Unless you're Amazon and you literally sell everything on planet Earth, you don't need a submenu. You need 5 to 7 items max. And if you've got more than that, you're probably overcomplicating it. Understanding things like that are what can make everything from your user experience to using your products and services better for the end customer and end client. So again, a lot to take away. I thought it was kind of funny that they decided to go back and highlight Windows 95, but it's very true. At the time, Windows 95 was quite the launch. They solved a lot of problems, and you just don't see a lot of companies doing what Microsoft did in the 90s, and Microsoft included. So definitely check it out, rightly.show/55. I'll leave a link to it in the show notes.
Become a Rightly subscriber and never miss a thing. Go to rightly.show/subscribe to get the latest tools, resources, videos, and more. Best of all, it's free. Rightly.show/subscribe.
Okay, so now I wanted to talk about why it pays to make your customers' life easy. So for most of us, we run some sort of online business, whether we do coaching or consulting or design, or, you know, we offer some sort of digital products or courses or whatever it is, or maybe you even have a brick and mortar shop. But I wanted to highlight why it is so imperative to come at every aspect of your business in a way as to make your customers' life easier. I can't tell you the amount of times I've come across different sites where I've wanted to purchase something, or where there is some sort of service I want to subscribe to or something like that. And even just the simple act of paying for something has been extremely difficult and time consuming and needlessly so. And I think a lot of this comes back to, and I'll be getting into this a little bit later, A lot of this comes down to just this mindset where it's me versus them. It's me, the business owner, versus them, the customer. And you can see this in a number of different ways. And so here's just kind of, I'll be giving a couple of examples here today, but here's an example of somebody I know. And it's a little different than what most of us do, but it still serves as an example. I'd like to kind of just draw parallels between a way that this person does run their business and the way they could run their business. So there's this individual I know of who, anyways, was making a rent payment for the place that they lived. And so they made their rent payment as they normally do. A few days pass, and they received a notice that was stuck to their door. So this person came back to the place that they lived, and they received a notice. So they pulled the notice off. The notice says that we have still not received your rent payment. And, you know, it shows the amount due, and it says at the bottom, please pay within 3 days, otherwise vacate the premises. And there's this legal mumbo jumbo, you owe all the attorney fees. It's just this horrible letter, just a very threatening letter. I understand why you would need all the legal fee stuff, but all this, whatever. So it's a very threatening letter, like, you know, pay immediately and all this, you know, here's our address, here's our phone number. So the person calls the phone number, they don't answer. Next day, you know, they call several times. Next day rolls around, call several times, of course, wasting a whole bunch of time to try to get in touch with this person. Finally, they get in touch with the person. And so, you know, trying to work it out, mailed you a check, all this stuff. And then eventually the person who receives the rent check hadn't checked the mail yet. So they go and they check the mail, give them a call back. Yeah, it looks like we did get your check after all. So this whole big, just think about this now, backtrack now for the whole customer experience. The customer didn't do anything wrong. They sent in the check. And from what I know, the person who, you know, when they received the check, they're like, oh, sorry for the inconvenience. We got the payment. There's, you know, we waived all the fees and all this. So the misunderstanding was taken care of. It's not a big deal at the end for the, you know, for the situation. However, but let's backtrack a little bit and just think about how we could have actually made that process better for the customer, for the person paying. So number one, what could have been done is, and this is very, very easy today, you could do it with a simple FreshBooks account, set up a way for the customer, if they want, to pay online. Make it, I mean, even something as simple as PayPal. Why would you do that? Well, from a business owner's perspective, the likelihood that you're going to get paid and paid on time is much higher. Number two, from the customer's perspective, they're going to want to pay you. It's a lot easier for them to pay you on time. And it's just easier. It makes their life easier for them to pay you. Now, a person who for whom it is easier to do something, the likelihood that they are going to do that thing is much higher. Number three is time. It saves everybody's time. You don't have to worry about somebody calling in and saying, did you receive the check? You don't have to worry about the person showing up at your office and handing you the check. You don't have to worry about filing the check. It just goes into your bank. It makes everybody's life easier. But all it takes is taking the time to think of a way to make it easier, not only for you as the business owner, but more importantly, for the customer. And the last thing is thinking about it from, again, a customer experience perspective. The first reaction when they had not received payment, or so they thought, was to go and send someone to the actual person's residence and stick a threatening notice on the door. So just think about that. Think about from a customer user experience how counterintuitive that is. What if instead you picked up the phone and you called, or you sent an email and you said, hey, just a friendly reminder, haven't received payment from you yet. Obviously they had, but let's say they hadn't. Just a friendly reminder, your payment is due. Just get in touch with us and let us know if there's something going on. You know, a friendly, you know, message just to let them know or something like that. Again, this keeps you on friendly terms with your customer. It makes things easier between the two, and that's right. And then, you know, if you don't receive payment, then I would understand fully that you follow up with some sort of notice and something like, I get there's ramifications of people not actually paying their bill. I get that. But again, it's a difference, a shift in attitude and mindset. One is working with your customer to make their life easier, and the other is me versus them. And at the end of the day, that's going to lose out every single time, because out of the two scenarios I just painted for you, Which do you think has a higher likelihood of being referred to a friend or a family member should they want to stay in the same place? So again, it makes all the difference when the mindset is, I want to find ways to make the customer happy rather than making their life miserable. So Jeff Goins has a really good example he posted recently of something he went through personally. And if you don't know Jeff, go to goinswriter.com. He's an excellent blogger, writer, best-selling author, speaker, all that stuff. He's got one of our theme. He's a sponsor or a signature series owner of one of our themes over at Notable Themes. But he posted this just a couple of weeks back. It says, I think I heard Mike Morrison once say that it should be technically easier to cancel a membership, but emotionally difficult to pull the trigger, meaning it should only take a click of a button to unsubscribe from a service, but you should pause before doing so because it added so much value to your life. So again, he's going to go into an example of specifically canceling in this case. So while I'm currently experiencing the opposite with business name goes here, it has literally been 2 months of going back and forth asking them, please cancel me because I don't have time to attend the classes anymore since they canceled the only time that worked well for me. First, they asked me to come in and fill out some paperwork so that I could cancel. They said this was the only way to cancel. You had to come in and explain why you couldn't keep coming. I imagine this is because they want to talk you out. They want to talk you out of it or whatever. Then I replied, telling them that the reason I was canceling was because I didn't have time to come in during the times that they had available. So they called me, explaining why I had to come in to cancel and all the reasons for such a procedure. Then, when I told them I was on my way out of the country and couldn't come in to cancel, they said I could actually cancel without coming in, even though they had previously assured me this was the only way to cancel. So I said, great, I'm out of the country now, so can you please cancel me? And they said, sure, just fill out this form. What form? They forgot to attach it. Oops, they said. Then I filled out the form. But it was after the 30th of the month, and so I have to wait another 2 months before my membership is canceled. I just received an email from them today, and it doesn't look like I'm canceled at all because they want a reason for the cancellation. So he goes on and he says, you know, guys, I'm out. I no longer want this service. So what he's describing here isn't all that uncommon. Now, again, he's talking about a membership to a physical location. But again, this isn't altogether uncommon. So just like the example I talked about previously, where it's kind of this me versus them mindset of running a business, and that's even with current customers, but I notice this even more with people who are trying to cancel. As you can see in this example that Jeff shared, they made his life absolutely miserable just to actually cancel the service. So one of the things that I argue is that when it comes specifically to canceling or unsubscribing or not doing business anymore with you, I think you should make it as easy for somebody to do that as possible. Now, I'm not saying, you know, sometimes like in unsubscribe links in an email that, you know, you should make them big and bold and red or anything like that. I mean, I even make links to unsubscribe in emails gray. They're not hidden. They're there, but I don't want them to distract from what the main message is. I'm not talking about that. What I'm saying is that you shouldn't make it you should never try to make it purposefully difficult for someone to cancel, which is exactly what he's describing here. I can't tell you the number of websites I've looked at or been a part of who actually hide away, like give no navigation to the page where you have to cancel or you have to call and then you have to fill out this questionnaire. There's been some services to cancel before that. I've actually gone to Google. I've done a Google search for cancel this product, which then links to a forum, which then has a thread of people debating how to cancel, which then four or five posts down the thread has a link to the cancellation page on the actual website where you can cancel. That should not be the process in which you go through in order to actually cancel a service. And this comes back to what we talked about with the previous example, which is why it pays to make your life easier. It's such a short term, and I kind of understand from a business perspective, in some sense, while I do, I kind of don't, why a business would do this. Because if you put enough obstacles in the way of somebody actually unsubscribing or ceasing to do business with you, you may get an extra month or two, or in Jeff's case, 2 months of revenue out of the person. But think about it. You may gain those extra 2 months of revenue. But think about how much that company will actually lose in potential revenue in the future. Because there's about 100% chance that Jeff's not going to recommend this to anyone. In fact, all the people reading this on, it was posted on Facebook, are probably not going to use that service either. So think about it. You might gain an extra 1 or 2, you know, extra months of revenue, but you're going to lose on potentially hundreds, if not thousands of dollars in reoccurring revenue in the future, or even just in referred revenue in the future, had you just simply made it simple for them to cancel or make it simple for them to do business with you or both. A great example I like to highlight from time to time is a place called Treehouse. Treehouse is an online learning community where you can go in. It's actually where I've learned some of my WordPress skills and things like that. So it's very much creative and development type skills that you can learn in Treehouse. Treehouse does something really rare though, and they actually allow you to pause your membership. So you don't even ever have to cancel. You can just go in there and they make it very visible. You go into your account and say you can cancel your membership or you can pause your membership. And if you pause your membership, they stop billing you. And so you can come back at any point in time, anytime you want, unpause it, continue to pay and use the service. They make it simple. I can't tell you I've paused it multiple times, but I keep coming back. Think about it this way. If Treehouse, not only do I, you know, come back and continue to use the service, I recommend it, which, by the way, if you'd like a 30-day free trial, I think it's a free trial or something you get, kind of doing this off the cuff, but go to rightly.tips/treehouse if you'd like a discount or if you'd like to use Treehouse. But the reason I keep coming back and using it and recommending it is A, it's a great service, but B, they made my life easy. Had they just gone through the process of what some of these other people do and make you call, or you have to hunt across Google to find out where to cancel or how to cancel, or the process that you have to go through is incredibly cumbersome, not only would I have never come back, I would never have recommended it. So who knows the amount of business they've actually gained by just doing the simple thing of making it easy to cancel, or better yet, making it so that you don't even have to cancel at all. So again, when it comes to making a purchase, when it comes to being a customer, or when it comes to actually canceling, it pays at the end of the day to make it extremely easy for those things to do. And the last thing I kind of wanted to wrap up with is all of this plays into an overall brand strategy. All of this plays into the way in which you want to conduct your business. So at Rightly Designed, I work with clients to create high-level, custom-built WordPress themes and plugins, or WordPress websites, essentially. And all of these are built and tailored from the ground up. Every piece of it is something that I build to help somebody grow their business. And the way that I do this is that, for me, quality is key. And sometimes it just takes time and a lot of research and a lot of planning to create the level of website that I'm creating for the type of businesses I work with. And so part of the brand philosophy that I've incorporated into Rightly Designed in every way that I do business is that craftsmanship is key. Timeless tailored brands is what I create, and the way I do it is through building WordPress websites. But we just live in a day and an age where everything is fast and cheap and needs to be done now or yesterday. You know, we live in the world of next free, next day shipping, which, don't get me wrong, I'm a fan of. But when it comes to building a brand, I think that craftsmanship is the key to doing that effectively. And so there's come times when I've worked with clients or customers, not very many, it's pretty rare, it's pretty few and far between, but there's times when people don't align with that approach to building a website. And so there's been times when there's been clients who I've ceased to work with, or you know, who no longer are a good fit for the way that I build websites or do business. And so I've always made it a personal goal to make it as easy for that person to cancel as possible, from ending a project to giving them every single element of what I've already created or crafted that they can go off to another designer or another developer who would do it quicker and faster and, you know, doesn't quite share the same goals or ideals. But again, giving everything that person needs necessarily to go off and to continue the project and do exactly what they're trying to do. Again, my goal isn't to force you to stay and to work with me. If your goals and the way that you do business doesn't align with the way that we do things at Rightly Designed, that's okay. It just means that we're not a good fit for you. So again, every aspect of building a brand starts with that overall brand strategy of what is it that we do and how is it that we do it differently. That way you attract the type of customers and clients that you want. Then the way that you keep those clients and you continue to get good referrals is by doing the things that we talked about previously, or avoiding the examples that we talked about previously, and by making it easy to for them to buy from you, make it as simple and as smooth as possible to remain your customer. And if they ever want to, make it extremely easy to cancel. So hopefully you found this useful. I just wanted to share some of those insights with you again. If you want to check out Jeff Goins, go over to goinswriter.com. You can also check out his theme over at Notable Themes. And also, I talk about this in depth a little bit today over at rightly.tv, which is our YouTube channel. So feel free to go and subscribe over there. It is absolutely free. And you can also become a Rightly subscriber if you are not already. That, again, is also free. That's where we share a lot of the tools, tips, and resources. You'll get updates about this podcast as well as Rightly TV and the other things that we're creating for you. Again, all free of charge. And you can find that over at rightly.show/subscribe. So as always, if you're finding the Rightly show useful, please feel free to head on over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a review, subscribe if you're not already. And I look forward to working with you in the next episode as we continue to create a brand that is truly Rightly Designed.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the program. If you found it useful, please take a quick moment to leave us a review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, or the medium of your choosing.